There are some things that seemed impossible 100 years ago, and yet today they take place. Maybe not all the time, but they have happened. So, for instance, people have walked on the moon. Now, 100 years ago, people would have said, well, that's impossible. But it's happened. Today, keyhole surgery is something that is done regularly. 100 years ago, people would have said, no, that's impossible. Today, we are wondering whether Leicester Football Club will win the Premier League. Now, I know there are some Tottenham supporters here, and we are hoping that somehow they'll slip up. But I think for the neutrals, they are thinking, let Leicester win. The impossible might happen. So there are some things that seemed impossible, but they've happened. But there is one thing that is impossible. It's for the dead to rise again. Not just to be dead for a few minutes, or maybe a few hours, but for days, and then to rise again from the dead. The impossible has happened. And so when we read the accounts of Jesus' life, the four accounts, which we call Gospels, at the end of each one, there is the resurrection. The impossible has happened. And at the heart of the church's message is the resurrection. This is what the early Christians preached, the resurrection of Jesus. This is what we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus. So let's look at the impossible happening. First of all, it is true. The impossible has happened. And so we read from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Just in those few verses there, we have some evidence for the resurrection. And we read the same in the other accounts of Jesus' resurrection. First of all, the empty tomb. When you read in chapter 15, Jesus had been certified as dead. The Roman soldiers went and they examined his body. They were experts in killing people and in making sure they were dead. And they said, no, he's dead. And so his body was released to be buried. A large stone was put in the entrance to the tomb to stop robbers. Probably 1.5 ton stone put. Because one of the things that the authorities said was the disciples will want to steal the body of Jesus. So the stone was put there to stop anything like that. So the empty tomb, and it hasn't been explained. People have come up with all sorts of arguments to try and explain away the empty tomb. Secondly, the message. He has risen. The angel gives this message to the women. Jesus himself had told his disciples. And when you go back in Mark's gospel, you find that several times he has said to his disciples, "I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, I'll be killed, and then I will rise again from the dead. So Jesus had said that. The women were to give the message. And Mark, in his account, at verse 8, he leaves us with questions. Did the women pass on the message? Because we read, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. Did they pass on the message? Well, we know they did, because you and I are here celebrating the message. And in fact, the other accounts tell us that they went and told the disciples. So the women passed on the message, and Christians down for 2,000 years have been passing on the message. Jesus is alive. Jesus died, and he rose again from the dead. And we've been celebrating that this morning. The Old Testament looked forward to it, the resurrection of Jesus. And in the early sermons of the apostles, they pointed back to the Old Testament. Thirdly, you have Jesus' appearances. And again, Mark 16, 1-8, leaves us with the question, did he appear in Galilee? He says, I'll give this message to Peter especially. Did he appear to them? And the rest of the other accounts, they tell us, yes, he did. And in fact, Acts 1:3 tells us that over a period of 40 days, he appeared again and again and again, because they were slow to accept that he was alive. This doesn't happen. Dead people don't rise from the dead. They weren't expecting it. And it needed those appearances over 40 days to convince them, yes, he's alive. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that at one stage, 500 people were together, and Jesus appeared to them. And then you have the transformation. Here are these fearful women, these disciples who have left him, who are afraid, and then suddenly, a few weeks later, they are standing, proclaiming boldly the message that Jesus is alive. And they're arrested, and they're beaten, and they're put in prison, and some of them are killed. Now, what's happened? Well, they've grasped the truth that Jesus is alive, and this message needs to get out. And so it doesn't matter what happens to them. They pass on the message. You also have the special day, which is changed. Now, the early disciples were Jews. Saturday was the special day for them. It was a holy day. And then all of a sudden, they start meeting on the Sunday. Sunday becomes the special day. Now why? Why would somebody change so dramatically the day of worship? Because Jesus rose on the Sunday. And that's the heart of their faith, heart of our faith. And then down through the centuries, millions of people have been changed. Their lives have been changed. Susanna testified in the middle of her depression and struggle. Jesus has met with her. And many of us here can testify. Jesus has come, and he's changed our lives. So it is true, the impossible has happened. But secondly, everything has changed. The 3 days of Easter, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, these 3 days have changed everything. They've changed the past so we can know forgiveness. On the cross, on the Good Friday, Jesus dealt with our sins. He died taking our sins, bearing the punishment for our sins as he died. And when we trust in him, we can know forgiveness. Now that's amazing. And one of the things we read here is Jesus particularly singles out Peter. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. He had said, "I don't know him. I don't know him." And he used strong words to deny that he ever knew Jesus. He had failed miserably. And yet Jesus wants to meet with him so that he can be assured of forgiveness. Forgiveness is there because of Good Friday. But the present has also been changed. On Saturday, Jesus' body was lying in the tomb, cold. Everything seemed hopeless. The women, the disciples, all hope was gone. Saturday is a wonderful reminder that when all hope is gone, there is a hope ahead. So here you have, all hope is gone. Only God can do something. And he does. Easter Sunday, he raises Jesus from the dead. And so Easter Saturday has been called the feast day for the hopeless. And that's a wonderful reminder to every one of us when we go through experiences when all hope is gone. We've tried everything. We don't know where to turn. And we say, well, only God can help me. And sometimes that's a good point to reach when all hope is gone and we turn to God and we say, please help me. And God, in his loving mercy and his power, he comes and he changes things. We also know the love and presence of God, the presence of Jesus, because he's alive. And God's power is at work in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 10 says this, "We have this treasure," that's the message of the gospel, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us." This is the Apostle Paul who is saying there were times when he was perplexed, when he was struggling, when he didn't know what to do. And so he describes himself as a jar of clay, just an ordinary pot, household object that is so fragile. But inside is the treasure. And the resurrection life of Jesus is the power in every Christian. When we feel weak, when we feel hopeless. There was a lady in the 1800s called Charlotte Elliot. And she was a person full of life and going to all the parties and everything. She was belonged to the aristocracy. And then at the age of 32, she was struck down by a mystery illness. And she struggled. And during that time, she went along to a friend's house, and there was an evangelist who had come from Switzerland. And through talking with him, she came to put her trust in Jesus. But she still struggled with that mystery illness for the rest of her life. For 50 years, she struggled with it. But she wrote 150 hymns and songs. One of them was "Just As I Am, Without One Plea," which was later picked up in the Billy Graham Crusades. No doubt affected many thousands, I guess, around the world. Just listen to what she said. "My Heavenly Father knows, and he alone, what it is day after day and hour after hour to fight against bodily feelings of almost overpowering weakness and languor and exhaustion, to resolve, as he enables me to do, not to yield to the slothfulness, the depression, the irritability, such as this body causes me to long to indulge, but to rise every morning determined on taking this for my motto: if any man will come after me, Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There you have a person struggling with weakness, physical weakness, and emotional, mental weakness, I guess, as well. And yet the resurrection power of Jesus is shown through her and the songs that she wrote. What about the future? The 3 days have changed everything. The past, we can be forgiven. The present, we can know the resurrection life of Jesus, so that even in our weakness, we can know his power. What about the future? Well, the resurrection of Jesus is the first sign of the new creation. God has determined that one day there will be a new creation. Everything will be made perfect. We look around our world today and we are filled with sadness and we wonder, what's happening? How can people behave in the way that they are? And so we look forward to that day, the new creation, when there will be justice and there will be peace and there will be perfect love and everything will be put right. The resurrection of Jesus is the first sign of it. He rose from the dead with a new body. And it's the first sign. It's like in spring when you see the snowdrops coming up. And then the other flowers, the daffodils, come up. And you know spring is coming. Now, we've been waiting a while for it. It's still quite cold. But we know it's coming. The first sign. And we know that one day we also will receive a resurrection body. One of those who looks forward to that day is a lady called Johnny. As a teenager, she had a serious diving accident. She was a good swimmer, and she dived into a shallow lake and hit her head on the bottom and was paralyzed from the neck down. Now, she's had a wonderful ministry around the world since then. But she was once at a conference when the people were asked to just kneel in honor of Jesus. And there she is sitting in her wheelchair, and all the others around her are kneeling. And she started to weep. She couldn't do that. But then there was another thought. She pictured heaven. And she said, sitting there, I was reminded that in heaven I will be free to jump up, dance, kick, and do aerobics. And sometime before the guests are called to the banquet table of the wedding feast of the Lamb, the first thing I'd plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees. I will quietly kneel at the feet of Jesus. And then she said, I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope that the resurrection gives someone who is spinal cord injured like me? Well, that's the hope of every Christian. One day, we will be experiencing this new creation with resurrection bodies. And the resurrection of Jesus is the first sign of that. But it's also the guarantee of it. It's not just a wishful hope. No, it's begun. The new creation has begun. And the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee that it will take place. History has turned a corner, and everything this side of it is new. So, what should you do? What should I do? Well, I would urge you, if you haven't done already, to receive the most wonderful gift that is possible to get in the world. The gift that Jesus offers here today, the resurrected Jesus, he offers you forgiveness and new life. Now, you might be in the position that, well, you're not convinced yet. You need to think about it a bit more. Well, there are a few booklets here at the front. Mark's Gospel. Please take a copy. Go home and read through it. Read about Jesus, who he is. Read why he came. Read about the resurrection. Please feel free to take a copy with you. There's also this, which looks at Good Friday, and it has verses from the Bible and some paintings to just somehow help us understand what was happening that Good Friday. Please feel free to take that. Or if you prefer this, Pete's Simple Guide to Easter. We've used this as our invitation to Easter Sunday and Good Friday, but it gives a good, just in a few words, the story of the Bible. So please take that away with you. But it is possible that you could receive this gift today. For those of us who have received this gift of forgiveness and resurrection life, let's make sure we're faithful witnesses. The women were afraid, they were bewildered, but eventually they gave the message. The disciples had run away from Jesus, but eventually, when they realized Jesus is alive, they went out with his message. Let's make sure we are faithful messengers of the truth. Even when we feel afraid, even if we're ignored, let's be faithful witnesses. Thirdly, let's trust Jesus' resurrection power to be displayed through our weakness. There will be times when we don't feel strong. We don't have to feel strong. Even in our weakness, the resurrection power of Jesus can be displayed. We are jars of clay. We have the treasure within us. And then lastly, let's make sure that the new creation stirs us and strengthens us so that our eyes are fixed on the goal. It's coming. And that inspires us and stirs us and each day strengthens us to keep going. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day when we celebrate the amazing resurrection of Jesus and all that is ours because of it. Forgiveness, new life, hope, strength. Lord, you know each one of us. May we not ignore this wonderful gift. And having received it, help us to share it with others. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.